Amen. Thank you so much. It's good to have Martha with me. We've been married over 40 years. Hard to believe that. I know I don't look old enough to be married that long, but I am. Everybody was laughing when I said that for some reason, but I remember we weren't quite to our first year anniversary, and we had taken a position in a really small church. And after I got there, I realized it had a really small salary. And I was looking at it, because they said, you know, when you get married, you need to have a budget. So I was going to make out a budget. And with all my income and outgo, and I said, there's a problem here. There's more outgo than income. We didn't have any bills or anything, but you know, you have rent, you have insurance, and we've gotten used to eating, and so we had to buy food. So there were all kinds of expenses. And then we found out we were expecting our first child. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of money too. And all this hit me when I was taking a shower. And I thought, what am I going to do? I just started crying because I said, you know, it's exciting to be married and having a baby. But I don't have enough money to provide for our family. And I was burdened. I said, God, what am I going to do? And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, you don't trust me. I went, wow. And the Lord just really, really worked in my heart. He said, just trust me. I said, okay. I'm going to finish the story at the end of the message. Okay. I want you to take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. I suppose this is my life verse or favorite verse. Some of you may have one of those, but this would be mine. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. If you're able, would you stand with me if you're physically able? Let me read God's word. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord and with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the encouragement it is to us and sometimes the exhortation that it gives that we need. Thank you for the sweet church. Thank you for the privilege of being here, fellowshipping with them, of standing behind this pulpit. I confess my need of you, Father. This morning, I don't want to do anything in the flesh. I want to be in the spirit, and I ask for the spirit's enablement and help as we communicate your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you so much. Trusting God is sometimes easier said than done. And you are in a situation, or you have been, or you will be, where you really need to just trust God. And I think this passage really opens up a couple thoughts for us. So what should I do? What should I do? And what will God do? What's my part? What's God's part? My part will be to decide, are you going to decide to trust God? I had to that day. By the way, I was in there a long time. Martha said, what in the world were you doing there? It was all foggy and all steamed up. She said, what were you doing that whole time? I didn't tell her that story till a long time later. And then we'll see that God's part is there too. So, what should I do? Decide to do what? Well, decide to trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So what does that mean? What does that mean? What does the word trust mean? It means to, you take that word, mean has the idea of hiding for refuge, to be confident or sure, to be at ease. And so you trust him, and so you're secure in that. It's like a refuge. It's okay. And I trust him. And because I trust him, I then have confidence and even boldness because of that trust. And trust is a word, but you know, it's one thing to say, it's another thing to do it. And so you put your whole confidence in him. You're confident in him. You're confident that he can do whatever he said he would do. You're confident that the need will be met. Total confidence. David, I think of David when he stood before Goliath, and Goliath was making those threats. And here's what he said to him. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I would have loved to have been there to watch that. I'm sure Goliath thought that was a joke. Here's this little kid. You're going to take my head from me. Now, of course, David had already told him it was the Lord that was going to do it. But that may have been a joke. But he trusted God to the point. Now, I would think from a human standpoint, that's impossible. This young man is going to take down this giant. He's going to take his head off. He's, yeah, right. Yeah, sure. But he trusted God. Even though that situation might have seemed helpless or hopeless, he trusted God. And he had absolute confidence in him. Do you? Do I? And so here's something. I know you know this, but I'm here to remind you. You know what? We have the same God David did. And David didn't have a different God than we do. We have the same God that David did, and he has the same power that he did when David was alive. So, you know, if you're trusting, David was not worried one second. He wasn't saying, well, I hope this works out, because it doesn't. You know, I'm toast. I hope this will. No, no, he said, you know what, buddy? God's going to take care of you, Dave, and your head's coming off. And he trusted God. And I don't sense any worry there on his part at all. And so if you trust, you're not worrying. Someone said, worrying's like rocking chair. You have something to do, but you're not going to get anywhere. And, you know, you'll say, well, what's going on? I'm just so worried about that. Well, how does that work out for you? Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. So trust waits on God. It doesn't worry. We don't like to wait. Wait is not like when you go to Walmart and you're in the line and you, of course, they don't have too many lines now because there's a lot of self-checkout. But if you found a line to wait in and you're there and you're thinking, oh, this is taking forever. It really isn't, but you think it's taking forever and you're being patient. That's not what I'm talking about. Waiting here is not worrying. It's being confident. It's letting God do what only God can do. See, worry is a response of my old nature. Response of my old nature, not my new nature. New nature doesn't worry. Trust. And the old nature said, well, you know, that giant's pretty big. Or that's a pretty big situation. It's helpless. No, but I'm trusting God. I'm trusting in Him. And sometimes you'll have people say, well, how's that going to work out? Or how's that going to be met? Or you just say, you know what? I'm just trusting God. And just trust in God. And so I remember the centurion who needed someone healed at his home, and Jesus was going to come, and he said, no, 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 no. You don't need to do that. You just say the word, and he'll be healed. That was trust. I mean, absolute trust. And oh, to trust him more. And so he would heal his servant. And so we need to trust him. We really need to learn to trust him. So, who do I trust? Look at the text again. Certainly not myself. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So your God's a source of your trust. Trust Him completely. You can trust Him for whatever. For instance, sometimes you need strength. Isaiah 26:4 says, trust in the Lord God forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You remember that little kid song where you sing, my God is so strong, so big and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. You remember that song? Well, you might want to sing it once in a while and then practice it. There is, it's true. There's nothing your God can't do. And we're consumed by the seeming impossibilities of life and the seeming hopeless situation. God's able. His strength is able. You say, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so you can trust the strength. You say, I don't know how I'm going to get through. I do. You're going to trust the Lord. You're going to trust the Lord to give you the strength that you need. Trust His goodness. Psalm 36:7, how excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. God's good. And sometimes people say, why would the Lord do this to me? Why would He allow this? God is good all the time. And so you can trust His goodness. He's working in your life for a need to be met that's greater than the need that you have. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? He's working out a need that you have that's even greater than the need that you perceive. And His goodness, He's doing that. And you see what He's, as you trust Him, you go through that. You say, wow, look what God has done through all this. Trust His care. 1 Peter 5:7. I love this verse. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. That's that word care has the idea of anxiety, worry, and I've had some health issues, and I think Pastor mentioned though. But when I lived in Eden, I had some issues, and I ended up in Greensboro a few times. But one time I was in the emergency room, and the problem with being a pastor, you visit in hospitals so much, you know more than you really want to know, because I've learned this, though, the way people describe things is not always the way it is. They seem to describe it worse than it is. But anyway, this guy comes in, he says, we need to put an NG tube in. I said, I know what that is. I know what that is. He said, really? I said, yeah, I visit people. I know it. I said, let's talk about that. And I thought we could negotiate. And he said, no, you have to have this. Well, let's think. Let's think of all of our options. And he was just looking at me kind of funny. And I said, what else? What other plan of attack? He said, there is no other plan. I said, there must be another way to do this. He said, no. I think he was getting a little put out with me. I said, He said, oh. He said, we got to do it. That's just it. Martha was there. I said, you probably won't leave because this might not be pretty. And so what they do is they take a tube and they put it in your nose and goes down your stomach. It sounds really gross. And people had it, they said, it was the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life. I screamed and screamed and they heard me all over the hospital. And I thought, and that's what they're getting ready to do me. And I went, okay. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. They say this needs to be done. And by the way, I am a pain wimp. I cannot handle pain. Please don't say amen. But she says, you are a pain wimp. I said, I know it. I just can't help it. And so I just thought this was not going to go down well. And so I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you that this will, you'll help me. That was certainly care to cast. I'll tell you that right now. If you knew me, you would say, mm-hmm. And so the nurse said, now, if you do exactly what we say, it'll go well. If you don't, it'll go terrible. I vote well, okay? So I said, Lord, I'm going to just trust you. And we went through that, and they went, that's the best that ever went with anybody. I said, it was the Lord. And I really believe that. I said, it was the Lord. I just trusted Him, and He helped me. You can trust Him in little things and big things. At that moment, that didn't seem like a little thing to me. Now it seems like a little thing, but it, right then it was a big thing. It was a big thing. But you can trust Him in big things, little things. Trust His mercy. Psalm 13:5, but I have trusted in Thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. You know why your trust is valid? Because of the object of the trust. The Lord is your object. I mean, if your object of trust has no validity, your trust is useless. Okay? If I said, you know, let's climb up on top of this building, and I've got a contraption, and you and I are going to jump off the building, and we're going to be flying around the parking lot. I don't think anybody would be a taker. I don't think any of these young people would go up there with me. I'd say, if you really trusted me, you'd do that. And so we trust you, but not in that. Well, that would be silly. And so you can trust because He is the object. So how do you trust? Look again at the text. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with all yourself, your feelings, your will, your intellect, your whole being. You trust Him. Sometimes our feelings, you know, we're panicky and we're just like, oh, or sometimes our mind plays with us and a little thing becomes a big thing in our mind. No, with all that you are, trust Him completely. Don't allow these distrustful feelings or thoughts to live, just put them out, because and it's not that you're ignoring reality, but you're choosing to put your trust in the God that can be trusted. And so your God says, trusting, trusting. Think of George Mueller, who wanted those orphanages established, not just to take care of children, though that was, but he wanted people to see something that demonstrated that God could be trusted and that he could supply needs. And time again, meals were supplied, money was supplied, and no appeal was made. He just trusted God and the Lord. I read of a missionary who said, you know, I'm going to the mission field, I'm going to ministry, and while I'm in college training, I'm going to learn to trust God. And so he wouldn't tell people he had needs. He would just say, Lord, here's my need. Got down to one time when he needed razor blades, and he didn't have any, and he had to trust God. And God supplied that. You can trust God in the big things and the small things. There's never a need to doubt. Never a need to doubt. I admire missionaries. Many of them go to the field under-supported, but they do that because of the call, but also they trust God. They talk about being under-supported, but yet at the same time, they talk about how God always meets their needs. We can trust God. He's worthy of that trust. Question is, will you, though? Will you, when you come to situations, circumstances of life, will you trust him with all your heart? You may be in a situation today where you're overwhelmed. Trust the Lord. Sooner or later, we all go through that. Situations that we think can't happen. So trust the Lord. So first of all, I need to trust. Look at the verse again. It says, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. Trust, but also think. Don't lean on your own understanding. See, our mind can sometimes go into overdrive. And a seed thought, I mentioned this a while ago, can be planted, and that seed grows and gets bigger and gets bigger, gets bigger, and it takes over. Remember the children of Israel? They were getting ready to go in the promised land. And so Moses sends 12 guys, says, go, you know, case out the land, see what's there, see what kind of people is, what the crops are like, and come back and tell us. And so they did. Numbers 13:14 tells us this. This is what they said. Nevertheless, the people be strong. The cities are walled, a land that eateth up the inhabitants. We saw men of great stature. We were as grasshoppers. And so they said, it's impossible. There is no way we can go and take that land. All these things are working against us. And the 10 talked to the people and they thought about what they were saying, though they may not have stated this, what they're saying. We really can't trust God. All these things are there, and so we can't trust God. And so, you know what? We shouldn't go in there because it would be a disaster. Then you got Joshua and Caleb on the other hand. They said, the Lord's with us. Fear them not. And they said, we can trust God. He's called us to do this. We can plow ahead. We can go there. He can be trusted. And all those things that they said were true. But also what Caleb and Joshua said was true. And that is that God would give them the victory. And so don't focus on the circumstance or the hopelessness of the circumstance. Focus on the God who can be trusted. And get balance there. See, sometimes it's easy for us to be critical of the 10 who wouldn't trust God. Yet so many times we're like them. And we focus on the giants rather on our God. We say, the giants are so big. These things are overwhelming. I can't. And so we worry, which, by the way, accomplishes nothing. Rather than trusting. God wants you to trust him. He really does. Over and over again, I see in Scripture where he calls that to us. We need to trust him. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Can be trusted. You know, God, we use the word omnipotent, and that means all powerful. It's one thing to say, it's another thing to believe it. What it means is our God is a God of the impossible. And there are many times that God places us by his love in an impossible situation. You think, man, how is this going to work out? What's going to happen? And you say, I'm going to trust the Lord. And you see him provide. And you not only see provision, but you also see him. You also see him. And Pastor was talking to me how he prayed and others prayed for me with my heart issue. And that was a unique experience for me on several levels. But one level was the reality of God. And I saw him in a way I'd never seen before. Students came by my house after that experience, or they called me or texted me. And when they came out of the house or called me on the phone, I would say, you know what? God is real. And they would go, oh, yeah, yeah, we know. It's like, yeah, we know he's real. I said, no, he's real. Yeah, we know he's real. No, you don't understand what I'm saying. He's real. I know he's real. And I found that out. I found that to be so. God wants you to see him in ways that you cannot see him until you go through a trial or a burden. Someone says he can't take you into light until first you walk through the darkness, the dark times. And sometimes that happens. And in those times, I think of our Daniel in the lion's den. He saw something of his God he'd never seen before, with those lions being taken care of. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke 18:27. Sometimes in our estimation, God isn't big enough. And that's the way we act. We worry. We say, well, you know, how's this going to happen? Trust the Lord. God can do the impossible. He really can. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, Samuel tells in Samuel 18:14. No, it's not. Of course not. Nothing's too hard. But yet we live like, well, this, you know, I know he can do things for other people, but this is too hard. No, it's not. It's not too hard. I know that thou canst do everything. Job 42:2. Job said that. Do you know that? Do you believe that? So what are you thinking about things? Do you think you can trust God? So you need to trust. You need to think. Look in verse 5 again. Lean not on understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge means to know, to observe, recognize, comprehend. So acknowledge what you know. And what you know, you should show by your trusting God. You're showing the world, just like David. When he came before Goliath, he demonstrated his trust. He said, God's going to slay you. It's one thing to say you trust God. It's another thing to move ahead in that trust. David did. And so declare that. Acknowledge that in all your ways. And so Daniel, go back to Daniel, he acknowledged his trust in God, refusing to not pray. The edict was issued that you shouldn't pray, or there's a penalty. Well, he trusted God and he went and prayed anyway. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. So will you acknowledge him in all your ways? Will you do that? What should I do? I should trust him. I should think the right thoughts, thoughts of trust. I should tell by my life. So the end part of verse 6, the end of verse 6 tells us what God will do. My part is to trust. I need to decide that. I need to decide I'll trust. And then the Lord says, he shall direct thy path. So God's part is he directs. He says he directs your path. Direct means to make straight or even or pleasant and prosperous. He removes the barriers and he leads the way. God directs your path. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know how this. He directs your path. He directs your path. And that's a promise. That's a promise. Paths are God's direction. Usually comes in steps. We want everything planned out. We want a 5-year plan. God usually directs in steps, not even leaps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so, one step at a time, he shall direct thy path. The certainty there. The certainty. Remember when I was senior in college, in second semester, and of course everybody's coming up to, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Graduate? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? I said, I don't know. You don't know? No, I don't know. What are you going to do? We had on Sunday afternoon, we called it Vespers, and they would pick a theme, and usually that theme had singing and songs and readings. And so one Vespers was, the theme was, He Leadeth Me. And they sang that hymn, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Father. And I said, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow. He's going to lead me, and I'm going to follow. And you know what? I was okay after that. I said, I'll follow him. And I did. I graduated. The day of graduation, I didn't know what I was doing, where I was going. People asked me, I don't know. I think I'm going to spend the summer in Chattanooga. There's some guys from my church. We're going to go there, and then I'll see. You know, so June went by. We're getting into July. Still didn't know what I was going to do. Then I got a telegram from Louisville, Kentucky. Never been there in my life. I've heard of the Kentucky Derby, but that's about it. And so I thought, what in the world? Well, this guy came from a ministry there. They had a Bible college and a Christian school. They wanted somebody to teach Bible. And as I sat there listening to him, the Lord said, that's it. He directed my path. I would have never in a million years dreamed of that. And I went there. That decision to trust the Lord was important. And that's where I met Martha. That's where I met my wife. And then a lot of things have happened since then. Remember, I started the message telling you about my situation there where I was worried about we didn't have enough money and that we were expecting our first child. Well, we went into that year, and it was an interesting year. Now, we were in a small town, so there was, which might have been good. There wasn't a lot of places to spend your money. The entertainment was to go to Walmart, not to buy, just to look. And it wasn't like a super Walmart like we have today with the grocery store. It was just one of those little, it was the beginnings of Walmart. So you could make that store maybe 10 minutes, but, you know, you could just do several laps. You know, I didn't notice that one a while ago. So every bill was paid every time. And if I had to produce that on paper, I really couldn't. We never missed a meal. In fact, some of the meals were pretty good that we had. Really good. Sometimes people in our church, I guess, I don't know what happened. The Lord must have put it on their heart. They would say, you know, here's a steak dinner, all the trimmings, and they give it to us. Wow, that's pretty good. And then we had our child. We had our first child, Joy. And so I'm at the hospital, and I told Martha, I said, you know, I've got to go down and talk to the people in the office because we got it set up, so I don't have any money to pay them. The Lord provided the money to pay off the doctor, and so now we got to take care of the hospital. So I went down, and I said, listen, I'm here to settle up. Can't pay. I will pay you, but I can't pay you today. So we'll set this up on payments. And they said, what's your name? I said, Dennis Clements. Okay. My daughter's Joy. She looks at me, gives me a phone call. What are you doing here? I said, remember I told you that I can't pay you, but I'm going to set payments up. You don't owe any money. I said, oh, yes, I do. We haven't paid you anything. I do owe you, but I am going to pay you. You don't owe anything. Oh, yeah, I know. I after a while, she was getting a little frustrated with me. I said, I know it. We haven't paid you anything. She said, okay, just look for yourself. She turns the book around. Paid in full. This is when people did things on ledgers. Okay, they don't do that now. But anyway, this is a ledger. Had paid in full. Now do you believe me? Yeah, now I do. Only the Lord could have done that. To this day, I don't know how that happened. But you know what? God can be trusted. God can be trusted. Not just in money needs, well, that was a pretty good thing to happen, but other needs that we have. Will you trust him? I mean, we can trust him as individuals. We can trust him as a family. We can trust him as a church. We really can. God wants us to trust him. So, what should we do? You need to decide. need to decide, are you one of those people, what do they call them, worry warts? Why don't you be a prayer warrior instead of a worry wart? Why don't you trust the Lord? And it's a choice. It really is a choice. Trusting is a choice. It's not because you feel like it. It's not because you're all worked up about it. It's a choice. You're going to choose to trust him or you're not. And I plead with you and I challenge you this morning to trust the Lord. Decide to do that. To trust him. And then to have the right thoughts. Thoughts that are the thoughts of complete confidence in him. And then let that live out in your life. What will God do? He'll direct. He'll direct your path. But it starts with you trusting. I hope you'll do that. Let's pray together. As we go to prayer, would you say, you know, preacher, you know, God really spoke to me about trusting him. I'm struggling right there, even right now. And would you just pray for me as you go to, and I won't do it by name, but I don't know you. Just raise your hand real quick. The Lord has just really spoken to me about my need to trust him. Just slip your hand up real quick as we go to prayer. Father, thank you so much for the fact you can be trusted. Pray, Lord, that you will help us to make that choice, not walk away from what you were able to do for us. And I pray that if there's somebody here that hasn't trusted you as their Savior, that today they would make that choice. In Jesus' name, amen.